Gotta be rolling. And welcome to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. I'm Paul Dottino, along with Roman Oben, and we'll take you through the Giants' preparations as they get ready for the Arizona Cardinals in week two of the regular season. Roman, good to see you. Now, the Giants are 0-1 after that first week, and you know that leaves a bad taste in their mouths.
Well, Paul, the reality is that half the league is 0-1, you know, including Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and Aaron Rodgers. So, but the reality is we have to expect this team to go forward and try to be 500 and win the first game of the season.
Yeah, that would certainly put Coach Coughlin in a much better mood. In fact, he's headed to the podium to talk to the media right now.
Good evening. Planned this way so that most of you guys are starving. So I figured it'll be nice and short. I heard on the way coming in here that that was being attacked, too, for sodium or something.
Sure.
Not exactly. You're not exactly in the category that. Following a Monday night game, it's scramble, and that's where you find yourselves on Wednesday. But, you know, in studying the Arizona Cardinals, they're a good football team, and they certainly did emerge last year. A team that beat Seattle late in the season, that just barely lost to San Francisco. 10-6 football team that very, very aggressive, physical, defensive team. Very good up front, runs the ball. You know, and in Carson Palmer, they've found the quarterback that Bruce indicated that he was looking for. And take advantage of an outstanding receiving group. And can throw the ball down the field, and do have a nice group of running backs that have played well in that system. So they're a good team, and we look forward to playing them Sunday.
Tom, you expect significant improvement from game one to two with the fact that all your ones got all that time and everything to.
Do I expect what?
Significant improvement.
Well, I'm certainly counting on it. I am. You know, I think the players are counting on the same thing. I think that there's great disappointment even today, you know, that we tried to turn the corner on that. But a game like that lingers, and we're trying to acknowledge again the errors that were made and teach and move on. And that's what we have to do.
Can a short week almost help that when you're coming off a loss? I mean, I guess there's less time to look back, and you're almost forced to look forward quicker.
I suppose if you're really looking for some way to gain an edge, I suppose you could do that. You could say that.
Carson Palmer was talking about learning a new offense that he had to learn last year, and he said it could. You know, it took almost a week eight before he got it down. Before then, it's like you just have to weather the storm, he said. Do you look at this as having to weather the storm now?
Well, to be honest, I've preferred not to do that. I stay away from that because, you know, it has to be sooner than later for all of us. You know, would I take the 10-6 record that they had, you know, last year? If we had to go through some very impatient moments. Well, we'll see about that, too. But you'd like it to come sooner than later. I think the players have had a very good attitude about this. They've expressed the fact that they are, you know, closer together as a group and that they acknowledged some of the problems and issues that we are having and have had in all three phases. I mean, let's face it, all three phases didn't play anywhere near like we anticipated playing based on our preseason. So, you know, I think that their minds and attitudes are in the right place, and we just got to work hard to try to improve and do the best we can with it.
Is being patient in a situation like that a difficult thing to do, to knowing that it might take some time for a new system to?
Is it a difficult thing? I've never been very good at it. I've tried it, but you know, some people are obviously better than others, and I'm in the other category. But you know, we just have to keep swinging. That's all. That's all I'm trying to do is to continue to evaluate, be honest with everybody, but encourage. That's the best we can do right now.
I remember back in ancient history, back in 2007, when Steve Spagnuolo's defense, he was trying to put that defense in, and it didn't work the first couple of games. His thing was always, you just keep staying the course and believing. I mean, is that the correct approach to whatever Ben's trying to do?
That's a good analogy. I hadn't thought of that analogy. I'll have to use it tomorrow. You won't be writing anything before tomorrow morning, will you? I can use that one. I thought it was good. I think that's good. I would hope that that's it. But I remember being there for those first two games too, and scratching my head and saying, "Okay, great, here we are. What was it, 40?"
with all the change you have, all the new faces and new people, do you keep trying to find the right combinations, or would you rather try and keep it so you have continuity and let the guys sort of?
Well, I think you're going to always look for the right combinations, or better yet is how to use everybody that you have to the best of the team's ability. So I think you've got to go through that. You've got to be able to utilize people to the best of their ability. How can they help the team? And that's really where we are.
Josh Brown is telling us about how confident he is punting, that he's done it a few times in his career. Is that something you would consider this week?
Well, I hope it doesn't get to that, but I certainly. He's out there today. There he was. I was watching him swing his leg. No ball, so everyone went 50 yards that I could tell.
What's your opinion on Ray Rice being released?
My opinion about domestic violence, very troubling, very tragic. No place for it in society and no place for it in the National Football League.
Tom, Bruce Arians also spoke of it taking till midseason to start to get comfortable with an offense and start to click. I mean, is that the reality of the situation, that it does take that long?
Well, Bruce has done it. He's most recent, and it certainly I think it takes time just to when you evaluate, to make sure that no matter what the situation is, that both the quarterback and the coaching staff are on the same page. Because it may have been different interpretations, in the previous 10 years. So there's a bit of that that takes place as well. As I said, I mean, Eli is very smart. He's a very fast learner. And I hope that maybe the curve is a little bit on this side of the eight weeks.
So would you say that you and Ben are kind of going through that a little bit now, like just like you talked about, learning to kind of gel even as a coaching staff with the new offense?
No, I don't put words in my mouth. No. I didn't say that. I'm answering one specific question. So what's your question? Am I going through it?
Or if not, how long did that kind of take you to get through with Ben when he first got here?
Get through what?
You talked about getting on the same page even as a coaching staff and viewing things in the same way.
The coach the coach and the player is what I'm referring to. The coach and the player being able to communicate in the same way, one being from one system, one being from the other. So hopefully that'll work in a speedier fashion.
Thomas, another home opener for you. How important is it to get the fans and give them something to get them behind you early in this game?
It's very important. It's very important to get that feeling when we come into the stadium that the support is there and it's loud and it will be there and be consistent. That's always a great feeling for a coach and a player to come into the stadium, be welcome, and to know that that your fans are there and they're behind your team and they're they believe in what you're doing.
With Brandon Mosley, he worked with the first team at right guard pretty much all training camp. How's he doing physically, and has anything changed there, or does he go back in that role?
Nothing's changed as of yet. We'll see how he does, but as he comes back, we'll try to figure out this particular week even, what's the best combination for us.
Is part of the challenge offensively wanting to add new things to show an opponent new things, but you're still trying to master maybe what you do best or find what you do best?
You got it. Plus, it's not just what you do best, it's what's your identity. You know, where would you go to hang your hat?
Do you have one right now in your mind?
Hats don't really look that good on me. Do we have it? I don't think that's been established just yet.
Do you usually have it established at this point, or is it something that, always, you know, takes time into each season?
No, well, it hasn't been that way for a few years, but it's because we've had the same system. And we know exactly what we want and where we want it. And I think that we do know exactly what we want. We're just not there yet.
Jenkins is new on the injury report with a hip. Cullen Jenkins, is that?
Yeah, I hope it's not much, you know.
You start to get a little thin there, obviously, with him and Coon. Is that something you've looked at or bring you guys in, or are you not at that point yet?
Well, we have a little depth there, too.
Can you enunciate what you want that identity to be?
No, not yet.
Were there torn ligaments with Weatherford?
Touchdowns, I would like to. I would like to have those.
Were there torn ligaments with Weatherford's ankle at all?
He did have some, I think, some ligament damage according to the swelling. But his ankle actually looks better today than it did yesterday. And he's doing jumping jacks and stuff in there now. So hopefully that'll continue.
That his fitness will really help him in this situation?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, there's no question. He's a phenom, a trained, he works hard at, if you could stand the music, you could go in the weight room and watch him. He's something.
You don't share the same musical taste?
No. Not quite.
just to go back to the
Frank Sinatra is not on his list.
Should be.
Just to clarify, yeah, what do you want me to clarify?
No, to go back to the Ray Rice situation. A couple of years ago, you brought in two players who had domestic violence issues over them. Has the stance changed, or how do you evaluate case by case?
Just the way you're saying it. You can't trivialize it. You have to be specific exactly what is the circumstance, who's the individual, I don't think I wouldn't want to ever generalize something as serious as that.
So Tom Coughlin has faced a bunch of questions, including a whole ton specifically about his struggling offense. Now, when we come back off of this timeout, Roman Oben and I will attempt to give you some more answers as the Giants get ready to take on the Cardinals. Back with more after this. And welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. And 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com. And as we go to our 15-second Geico news recap of the day, you heard Tom Coughlin talk about the Giants' lack of identity. Well, that is a problem, Roman. After five preseason games and one regular season game, Tom Coughlin is still not sure what good things this team is able to accomplish.
And I know we've had this preseason discussion a lot, Paul, but when you get to opening day, you get to the first game of the season, now this is what you put on tape. And for any offense, and I've been a member, a part of a lot of offenses, for any offense to really have that identity, if you will, it's running game, pass protection, distributing ball downfield, quarterback finding receivers in the end zone. And that just didn't happen on Monday night. You hope what they did do, they correct it. But again, right now they put bad stuff on tape to show that they don't have an identity at this point.
Okay, Roman, let's take a look at the injury report, because there are some Giants who are kind of in limbo right now as they prepare for Arizona on Sunday. The one guy I want to point to is Steve Weatherford, who injured, was a badly sprained ankle, his left ankle, that's his plant ankle, in the game trying to punt against Detroit. The emergency punter, if he cannot go, and Weatherford is optimistic about it, would be kicker Josh Brown, and the holder would then be Ryan Nassib.
Yeah, and that's something that Nassib did in college. High school, too. So it's good to have those options. But going back to Steve Weatherford, you know, he's a guy that his work regimen is tremendous. And Tom Coughlin raved about that. So he's going to do every single thing possible to be ready to play 4 days from now.
Now, Roman, we've talked about how the Giants' offense has to be smart and maybe manage a game or be conservative. But when you have less than 200 yards of total offense in a game, you're not going to win very many. And that's what they had against Detroit.
Yeah, and it's really about the big plays. And you really hope that one of those passes or one of those runs would have broke and improved that number. But consistently, the Giants really didn't do enough to show the type of offense that they can be. And it's got to be better. You look at an interception, that was, I mean, the unlucky bounce, if you will. Things like that. When things are going wrong, going against you, those are the kind of plays that happen. So those are things that you have to eliminate. The side adjust, turning around, reading the defenses. Again, they put in this system, you know, for months now. But again, those type of numbers, 18 for 33, 163 yards, those aren't good numbers. You want to see 2-3 touchdowns and obviously zero turnovers.
Now, you don't see the sack number up there. The Giants did give up 2 sacks. But really, the thing that's more important, Roman, the quarterback pressures. Eli Manning felt like he was under duress all night, and that is never a good thing.
It's not. And Eli Manning obviously isn't known for his ability to scramble. So the centers and guards have to set the depth of that pocket, and the tackles have to control the width. So Eli Manning can sit up straight and find those receivers downfield. And when you see 3 or 4 jerseys of the opposite color surrounding the quarterback and O-lineman kind of lunging and reaching, I mean, that's not good. So, again, that's what they put on tape opening day. Those things have to be fixed for them to move forward.
We know the Giants would like to run the ball well. The final rushing total, 22 carries for 53 yards. But here's the deal. Heinoski was only on the field for 6 snaps. How are you going to run the ball if your fullback's not out there?
Well, and 3 of those 6 snaps that Heinoski was on the field for was goal line, where they threw 3 fades in the corner of the end zone. And again, when you go back to those shotgun runs, you want to do it when that defensive line is coming upfield. Maybe you're running draws. You know, you're taking advantage of that. I mean, we saw Rashad Jennings break a 73-yarder against the number one Pittsburgh Steelers defense. So that gave you some options about what this guy can do. We saw Andre Williams running tough. But on Monday night, that didn't happen. Are the big plays there? 100%. Can it happen, and should it happen next week? I believe that as well.
All right, and the Cardinals only gave up about 50 yards on 2.2 yards of carry to the Chargers. But the Giants wide receivers were also culprits in this one, Roman. They had 4 of the Giants' 5 drops on the night against the Lions.
When Eli Manning does connect to the receivers, you can't have any drops, because those drops are the would-be big plays. When he's got help, when he's got a good pocket, when he gets rid of the ball finally, you just can't afford to have those drops. And I know Eli, Victor Cruz has been, you know, frustrated a little bit during the offseason, during the preseason rather. But again, you just can't have drops. You can't overthrow receivers. You have to catch those.
All right, so when the Giants do try to throw it, Patrick Peterson is going to be one of the guys trying to stop them. The Twitter question comes to us from Emma Louise. Wants to know, is Patrick Peterson on the same level as Richard Sherman as a corner?
Well, I think Patrick Peterson in a lot of football circles is considered better than Richard Sherman, because he is a more aggressive, in-your-face, bump-and-run cornerback. He can take away a team's number one receiver. You know, Richard Sherman, unfortunately, is a zone, not in that system, rather. He's a zone guy. He stays on that side of the field. He gets help over the top with the safeties. Patrick Peterson can run up and down the field with any team's number one receiver.
Yeah, Peterson's also, as you say, a lot quicker than Richard Sherman is. Well, from the Cardinals' defense, when we come back after this break, we will talk to you more about the Giants' defense, which was spotty at times against Detroit, tried to keep this ball club in the game, but when push comes to shove, they wore down too, and that's why the Giants are 0-1. Stick around. We'll have more right after this.
Fitness and wellness have always been part of my game plan for success. And now the New York Giants have teamed up with Hackensack University Medical Center to build a state-of-the-art facility to help you stay fit and well. Hackensack UMC Fitness and Wellness, powered by the Giants, features a world-class fitness center, saltwater filtered pools, a sports performance center, Beyond Day Spa. Stop in to check out the new facility on Route 17 in Maywood or visit giants.com/fitness to learn more about memberships.
And welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. You know, talking about the Giants defense, which at times did well, especially against the run the other night, well, not so well on third down. And that's a big key because you got to get off the field. They gave up 10 of 15 third down conversions.
Yeah, and you know, Paul, defenses aren't built to stay on the field for 12, 15 plays, you know, 10 plays. Offenses are. Defenses are built to make them punt and get off the field. And when you give up those third downs, especially on the road, what it does is it really ignites the other team, especially when you have a good player like Calvin Johnson. And, again, you're going to give up a little more points on the road typically, but when you look at the numbers and the yards, and because a lot of those came as a result of big plays, you know, that's not something you want, Paul.
Well, you know, the thing that really got to me is that the Giants only had an opportunity at one takeaway. They did not recover a Lions fumble. They only had one sack that was by Robert Ayers. And quite frankly, their pass rush got to Stafford a number of times but didn't finish. Like when DeMontre Moore didn't finish off a sack on the first series and Stafford turned it into a a Megatron touchdown.
Yeah, and typically in terms of pursuit angles with the defensive line and the pass rush, you know, as DeMontre Moore comes and gets flushed inside, another defensive lineman should be right there to meet him. So you see JPP in there, you see Kiwi. So in terms of that entire pursuit of the pass rushers, I think all four of them failed, not just DeMontre Moore.
And that looks like blown coverages, but at the same time, they're also expecting the pass rush to get home.
Yeah, you do. And then when defensive backs are downfield and you've got offensive players that are still running, you either have to get to the quarterback or force them to throw it out of bounds or throw it away. And neither of those happened when you saw the big plays that Detroit had on Monday.
Rome, let's talk about the Cardinals passing game. Everybody knows about Larry Fitzgerald, but he only caught one pass in the fourth quarter against the Chargers. It's really Michael Floyd who put up more than 100 yards the other day that wound up being the big play guy. And by the way, Palmer threw 11 deep balls last week against San Diego. That led the NFL in week one.
Yeah, I mean, look at what Larry Fitzgerald did last season. He's still averaging 11 yards a catch. He's still dangerous, in the red zone as a target. But there's been some criticism about how he's being used now in this system. So I'm going to look for Larry Fitzgerald to really step up this week and then Carson Palmer try to find number 11 in that Cardinals jersey and try to get him going this week, because then now he becomes a good complement receiver to Floyd.
Carson Palmer threw for over 300 yards and two touchdowns. And the other thing was he showed some mobility in the pocket. And again, that means the Giants pass rush has to get home because he'll get away and throw it.
Yeah, you're at home. You got the crowd noise. They're on the road. You have to get to the quarterback this week, Paul.
And then finally, the run defense, again, pretty good last week, held the Lions to 50 or so yards. They got to be stout again against the Cards.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
Roman, great to see you as always.
My pleasure.
It's the Giants and Arizona Cardinals, Sunday at 1 o'clock at MetLife Stadium. We'll see you next time on Giants Press Conference Live.